This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and our special guest today is Sean Wade with Plains Cotton Growers. We'll talk cotton in just a moment. First off, Ed Elfman is Senior Vice President for Ag and Rural Banking with the American Bankers Association.
In November, we will be in Omaha, Nebraska. I say this half-jokingly, but if you think Nebraska is nice in the summertime, you should come try it in November. And come check out our conference from November 6th to the 9th. We bring together 600 to 700 of our closest friends all across the banking industry, all different sizes, and really try to make it an opportunity for bankers to come and learn and try to see what trends are out there, what things they should be paying attention to. But not only bankers, I would say even if you're a non-banker, it's worth looking into our conference because there's a lot of good information from a lot of different people.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Sean Wade. Sean is Director of Policy Analysis and Research with Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. And Sean, first, welcome back to the show. But it's coming as we're nearing the end of this 2022 growing season. Some widespread moisture, though, over the last week or so, right?
Yeah, you know, it's really kind of interesting, Tony. Last year, we thought we were going to start off with a pretty dry season, and we ended up, you know, getting pretty timely rainfall throughout the growing season up until about the middle of August, and then it kind of turned off, and we haven't had much rain since then. And this year, it seems like somebody remembered that we're supposed to have the switch on in August, so we've gotten to the middle of August after really not having much rain throughout the growing season. And now it feels cooled off, and we've gotten some pretty good rainfall in some areas. And, you know, hopefully on track to help what's left of this crop, you know, finish out its maturity and get on to harvest.
Now, there'll be some, and maybe we see some of that in the markets over the last couple of days, but when they see rainfall across an area that has not had rainfall, that it must be helping the crop. And obviously it's helping the crop that's there, but it's not doing anything for the acres that aren't there, right?
Well, no, it really isn't doing much for those acres that were failed previous to the event. And really, some of the acres that, you know, had really kind of already shut themselves down, they're still out there in the field. They haven't been released by insurance or whatnot, haven't been looked at quite yet. But they really don't have much potential. I'm looking at a dryland corner here at a field day and, you know, there's just not much there, on these plants. There's, you know, 6-7 inches tall and this rainfall is not going to help them really at all. But like I said, those irrigated crops that we've been nursing through the summer, you know, and a lot of folks over the last couple of weeks, you know, had, you know, maybe turned some water off or down on some of that, because, you know, the forecast honestly just didn't look like it was going to be very favorable. This rainfall should, you know, maybe help them finish whatever potential they've got, finish that out and hopefully, you know, add a few pounds to the total on those fields. Every pound is going to be important this year, you know, for our gins and warehouses and all of our allied industry folks. You know, we need to try and get as much of this cotton harvested that's worth harvesting, get it into a bale and get it onto the market. As we saw in the USDA report, you know, this is going to be a pretty short crop, not just in Texas, but across the belt. And, you know, it's just not quite, you know, the crop that maybe everybody would hope for, you know, with prices at these levels. But, you know, it is what it is. And we will, you know, we're going to get through it. And hopefully, like I said, this rainfall will kind of help us finish out the crop that we have and maximize whatever potential does exist out there.
You mentioned that USDA report, and how often do we see USDA reports and say, well, they're just not there yet. They just haven't seen what we have in the field. And the one thing I'm hearing from some on the economist side is, wow, USDA may have gone too far. Let's tie this back over, though, to certified acreage. This, even though it's under the umbrella of USDA, not part of the NAS, which is where we got these latest numbers. How do we push all of this together into one story?
Right. Well, you know, I think eventually, as we go through, you know, the next few months, USDA NAS does have access to these certified acreage numbers as they come out. And as we know, the certified acreage report was actually delayed by about 10 days, just because of the backlog, I guess, within USDA on some other programs that they've been developing and delivering. So, there was a little bit of a delay on the certified acreage being released, and that may have impacted, the NAS, information just a little bit. You know, from a Texas perspective, comparing the two, the FSA numbers as far as planted acres on upland cotton, you know, appear to be higher than what, NAS has on the books right now. So that, you know, that planted acres number for NAS may well go up. But as we look at, again, you know, within this, you know, just everything that's going on, we know that there are more acres to be reported as failed in the state as well. And so, you know, the question is going to be, as those acres get reported into FSA and everything starts to, you know, kind of be balanced out, and compared one to the other, you know, what adjustments will NAS make over the next few months, if any, to kind of bring those acreage numbers in line? You know, there's certainly not a lot to point to that would say that NAS is really far off the mark, as far as their crop goes, unless, you know, like I said, maybe they're underestimating some of those acreages just a little bit, which, you know, may have pushed, you know, what was a 12.6 million bale forecast for the U.S. You know, maybe there's some acres out there that when they get it all put back together, maybe we do, you know, crawl back up to a 13.2, something, crop, million bale crop. I don't really know, you know, what that's going to look like. But we do know that we don't have all of the failed acres accounted for on the high plains of Texas, much less in the rest of Texas. And over the next month or so, you know, federal crop interest will be switching from from stand counts to, bull count appraisal methods. So, we'll likely see some of this cotton that, you know, it's to a stand, but it's, you know, it's just kind of been existing for the last few months. Once they can do bull counts on it, they'll actually go in and try to do a yield estimate on what's out in the field. And we may see, like I said, we would expect to see maybe some more acres get failed out as well. So, can't say with much certainty that, you know, USDA NAS's crop report is off the mark by very much, but it may certainly see some adjustment as we go over the next few months.
Okay. Now, there's been some programs along the way to help producers who've been impacted by weather-related events. And, again, we could talk about the WIP program, the WIP Plus program. Don't really use those acronyms anymore. But there is another program that's working in USDA for producers. Tell us more about that and what the latest is on it.
Yeah, so, you know, back at the beginning of the summer, we saw the release of the first round of applications for the Emergency Relief Program, the ERP program. And this would be phase one of that program that was approved by Congress last fall to cover losses that producers incurred in 2020 and 2021 growing seasons. Earlier in the year, during the first part of this phase one rollout, producers were able to make application and look at those benefits for pretty much all of the 2020 crop losses that they may have documented. But some producers still had some outstanding crop insurance programs that hadn't been quite settled, specifically the Stacked Income Protection Program, STACs, the supplemental coverage option and enhanced coverage option endorsements that are available to cotton producers and grain producers as well. Those insurance endorsements don't actually settle up until basically this last July. This past month, as we've gotten through, you know, all of the crop reporting and calculations that needed to be done. So now that those insurance policies have been paid and settled, growers that had a 2021 loss that they may be eligible for benefits under the ERP should be receiving any day now, again, a round of pre-filled out applications that include information downloaded from the federal crop insurance servers to take care of any of those outstanding 2021 crop losses that may have been kind of waiting to be processed. And then once that's completed, then we'll go into phase two, which is going to be the point where producers that didn't actually have a crop insurance loss but still had a loss below the ERP trigger points would be able to make applications under phase two. So that's still, a month or two down the road, we expect, but something that producers are watching very carefully. And it's, just programs that are taking up, the time of our county FSA folks.
Sean Wade is the Director of Policy Analysis and Research with Plains Cotton Growers. You can follow Plains Cotton Growers or PCG online at plainscotton.org. That's plainscotton.org. It's the Agribusiness Report.
When looking for your next career, what matters to you? At Livingston Machinery, we are service-oriented to be sure our customers have an excellent experience. We are passionate about agriculture and act with integrity and responsibility. We treat our teammates and our customers like family to ensure each other's success. Does this ring true to you? Maybe your career is waiting for you at Livingston Machinery. View available positions now at livingstonmachinery.com.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Ed Elfman's with the American Bankers Association.
One big piece of legislation that we're watching is the Enhancing Credit Opportunities in Rural America Act, also known as ECORA. So I think I've talked about ECORA before on your show here. With ECORA, the big thing is that we would remove the taxation earned from income on farm real estate. What does that mean to you as a farmer, right? Or you as a rancher? It essentially means that we can lower your interest rates because we are removing part of the cost of putting together a loan. An interest rate, folks, from a farm standpoint or from a banking standpoint, rather, an interest rate is just a combination of the cost for the institution to put together the loan and then how much it costs them to get the money, right? So you put those two things together. Well, if we can lower the cost to put the loan together, we can reflect that in interest rates. We're talking about rising input prices, potential rising interest. Well, I shouldn't say potential. We've seen interest rates rising already. ECORA is a way to help the banking industry keep their interest rates low, especially on farm real estate. And frankly, if you're a farmer or rancher, you're going to win on this thing at the end of the day. It'll create more competition amongst lenders. It'll help lower your interest rates. And as the margins get squeezed, who doesn't want to pay less on interest? Right? It's a win-win across the board.
It's the Agribusiness Report. When you grow cotton, you need a heavy-hitting harvest aid, something that delivers rapid desiccation that has powerful performance and safe handling. That something is Revaton herbicide. What's more, Revaton comes with a low use rate for greater convenience and efficiency. Hammer home this year's cotton harvest with Revaton. Learn more at helmcrop.com/Revaton. Always read and follow label directions.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest, Sean Wade, Plains Cotton Growers. They're online, plainscotton.org.
When it comes to farming in dry conditions, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers looking to improve yield potential while protecting their bottom line rely on dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Bred, tested, and made tough to handle the toughest growing conditions. Stay strong this season. Plant dry, tough, dryland cotton varieties from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Control your growing environment like never before with a Sunflower 1436 disc harrow. With a design that is fine-tuned to work precisely and easily, you can give each seed its best shot at a healthy return. Whatever your soil type or tillage practice, the Sunflower line of disc harrows is your best choice for rugged, reliable performance. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Representative Garrett Graves from Louisiana talks about sticking to the science when we talk about climate change.
The only way we're going to solve this problem is if we're sticking to science. And so let's talk a little bit about science. The United States could cut emissions today. We could cut every bit of emissions today, and it wouldn't have a single impact. It wouldn't have a single impact on any changes in weather patterns for 50 years, according to the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, the IPCC modeled maybe 75 years or maybe even 100 years. I take that back. If we cut it in the United States, it wouldn't have an impact globally for probably in excess of 100 years. If the entire world cuts emissions, we're looking at 50, 75, or 100 years away before you would actually see changes in weather patterns if the models are accurate.